is an architecture and solution podcast with host Matthew Stein. Check out Cisco's ANS Interactive Discussion Forum, where you can share your thoughts on this conversation, plus a full lineup of past podcasts at cisco.com/go/blog.
Our identity is arguably one of our most important personal assets, be it at our work, at our homes, or in the marketplace. In the healthcare field, a loss of your identity could mean revealing personal medical information that could be sensitive to you and your family. A loss of your identity by retailers, including financial firms, could mean the loss of your credit rating or even worse, your personal funds. This is the stakes that all companies that hold on to customer personal information, including credit card numbers, must keep in mind and protect or risk losing their customers, making newspaper headlines, or face lawsuits. Our next guests focus on how to bring technology to bear to support the sanctity of personal information. I'm joined in the studio by Sean Ginnivan, Marketing Manager inside Cisco Mobility Team. Throughout his career, Sean has worked at contributing editor for multiple technical publications, doing product evaluations and reviews. I'm also joined on the phone by Terry Quinn Andry. Terry leads the Compliance Solutions Marketing Team at Cisco, focusing on PCI compliance. Terry has spent over 13 years designing and building security solutions for customers. Thanks for joining us, both Terry and Sean.
Thanks for having us today, Matt.
Thank you very much, Matt.
So, Terry, let me start with you. So, we've heard a lot about PCI, and it's usually around the retailer customers. We've heard a lot in the press, of course. But yet, we're starting to hear that this actually affects other industries as well. And can you talk a little bit about some of the other industries, why they care about PCI, and where PCI is as a whole?
Sure. So PCI certainly is not just for retail. If you look at the base of PCI, which is around protecting customer credit card information, it applies to any organization that processes, transmits, or stores that credit card information. It's not all three, it's just one of those. So if we expand that payment or that business example out to the multiple industries that just ever touch or hold credit card information, you're literally expanding it to almost every industry you can think of. Healthcare, transportation, hospitality, even state, local, and federal government agencies are struggling with PCI right now. So it's a broad, broad spectrum out there.
And when we look at compliance as a whole, this is usually considered to be a fairly sometimes hard to pin down exactly what makes somebody compliant. And unfortunately, we've seen newspaper articles where there have been breaches and losses of identity for companies that have identified that at one point they were PCI compliant. So what does it really mean to be compliant? Is this a check mark at a single set of time, or is this a continuous thing?
That's the challenge. Some companies will say, okay, we achieve PCI compliance, it is a checkbox. And they even look at the requirements and the standard as, okay, check this, check this, check this. And then they think they're done, and they haven't looked at the bigger picture of the reason that PCI or other compliance regulations exist is to strengthen up protection of that information. And so the more leading companies that take security seriously as a business, they will say, you know what, we've got to put in place a security strategy and put in controls to protect not only our customer credit card information, but our employee information, patient health records or health information, financial information. Companies that take that approach tend to find PCI and other compliance regulations just kind of fall in line with what they're already doing versus the companies I mentioned first. The ones that are just going by the checklist tend to have a lot more pain, a lot more burden, and end up with a lot more holes.
So in other words, having an all-encompassing architecture, if you will, that looks at data at rest, data at motion, and looks at how do I secure my environment, looking at various levels of encryption or security, depending on the data itself. If I look at this enterprise-wide, when I have to meet very specific standards for whatever reason, be it an industry standard or a government or even a customer requirement, I can support that in a much easier environment.
That's right. The things you want to think about is, as you said, data at rest, that information while in transit or in motion, and also that information while in use. That directly ties to who's accessing that information and how are they accessing it.
So Terry talks about this data at rest, data in motion, be it secure, be it in the storage area network or in other locations. And yet somehow mobility always gets a category in and of itself. Somehow wireless seems to get singled out at all times. And so, Sean, from your perspective as a wireless expert, why does, if you will, wireless sometimes get a bad rap? Why does it always get singled out? And what kind of things are companies having to start to think about?
There's two main reasons, Matt. I think one, traditionally wireless has gotten a bad rap because there were some fundamental security challenges when it came down to security in the wireless world. So when wireless was first introduced with the 802.11 series of standards, we used a technology called wired equivalency privacy, or WEP. WEP was fairly easily broken, just a few short years after it actually got introduced into the marketplace. And everybody said, oh my God, Wi-Fi is insecure. You know, I can't possibly use it in my organization. The standards bodies, as well as the Wi-Fi Alliance, have done a really good job of helping shepherd new technologies into the marketplace to address some of those fundamental security issues that did come into the wireless medium in the first place. So we now have technologies like WPA2, AES encryption, strong authentication with 802.1x that actually really make the wired medium very, very secure for business-critical and mission-critical applications. But there's also some new threat vectors that we're seeing in the marketplace as well that customers and organizations need to understand over time. Rogue access points are probably the most obvious one that everybody understands. And those rogue access points could come as a malicious person trying to create a backdoor into the network, or it could be somebody inadvertently trying to improve wireless coverage. It could be an ad hoc wireless bridge. Every Windows laptop has the ability to set up its own little wireless network. And people can use that as a backdoor to connect into your wired infrastructure. And obviously, there's denial of service attacks, encryption attacks. We're seeing those evolve over time from WEP into TKIP, which is a newer encryption technology. Those same kind of WEP attacks are being used toward TKIP as well. And finally, Matt, I think the real fundamental difference between your wireless security environment and your wired security environment is that in the wired world, I could actually go and get a pretty decent level of access control by having physical control over my switch ports and my facilities. In the wireless world, those signals actually bleed out. I can go and intercept packets and data right out from the parking lot. That's a major fundamental difference between the two.
And you listed all these different types of attacks. And I'm sure customers just love when you come in here and can scare them into everything that could go wrong. So there's quite a few companies that have just turned around and said, this is too much of a headache. We know there's productivity gains. We know that mobility can help us. We obviously have smartphones. I mean, people like having data at them with them at all times. And yet for some companies, it's the benefits are not outweighed by the risks. The risks are still superior. So what would you say to those customers that, again, say, we're going to have to do this compliance. We're going to have to do security. Wireless is a huge headache. We're just going to stay away from it.
Sure. And I mentioned earlier that I think we've done a really good job of getting the basics from a standards process to securing the network. So, you know, controlling access control and encrypting the data going over the wireless network to address some of those fears. Now, there's always going to be organizations that say, I'm still not going to run wireless in my organization. Defense contractors, for instance, certain financial institutions. They still need to be concerned about what's going on in the RF environment. For instance, if I sit there and I'm an organization, I say, I'm not going to run wireless, it's just too hard. Your users are going to sit there and say, I still want to have wireless coverage. So they possibly may put in a rogue access point that they bought from Best Buy onto the network to provide that mobility, those mobility benefits that you speak of. If an organization isn't actually monitoring their RF environment in the same way that they would monitor the perimeter of their network with a firewall, it's really difficult to secure the network and actually gain insight to ensure that there really aren't any available backdoors to steal corporate data from.
Terry, in the very beginning, you talked about how this needs to be an all-encompassing architecture. And Sean, obviously, has spent a bit of time talking about the mobility aspect and how mobility is not a small set product now. This is, in and of itself, a fairly complex architecture that you need to look at. But how does this fit into, when you talk about the entire compliance architecture, how does this fit into that? And how is Cisco hopefully going to help, again, trying to make this a cohesive solution and not, if you will, individual point solutions to make somebody PCI compliant?
Right. And with PCI, because it is prescriptive, but especially around wireless security, more regulations than not actually include wireless security requirements in it for all the reasons that Sean had mentioned. But if we look at PCI specifically for a moment, within the standard itself, it calls out specific things you need to do around wireless. So, for example, a company that has, you know, wireless deployed, you have to scan. You have to identify what wireless devices are in there. You have to monitor it. And guess what? Companies that don't deploy wireless, like you mentioned, Matt, if they have to be PCI compliant, they still need to scan for those wireless devices that Sean was talking about. So I tell customers when they tell me, no, we don't deploy wireless, it's, you know, it's too risky, and I'll ask them, well, how do you check to see if there's any wireless devices on your network? And their answer ultimately is usually, we don't. And I say, well, you've just identified your highest risk. Now, if we take just that subsection, like you say, and pull it into this larger compliant strategy, governance, risk, compliance, and the larger security strategy, you have to integrate it, right? You've got to integrate wireless IPS with wired IPS. You have to make sure that the monitoring functions will support both wired and wireless. You have to make sure that if you're doing network emission control, for example, that it can act for both wired and wireless. And I will state that that's Cisco's value add, is all of those technologies and that architectural solution by default includes both wired and wireless devices. And that's the strength. You've got to pull it together into this single overreaching architecture that we can provide.
Fantastic. Terry, in the last minute we have, from your perspective, where are we going with this? Give us a view into maybe the next year or two. What are companies looking to expect, how can they be ready for that?
Okay, so compliance is not going away anytime soon. In the last 6 months, there have been even more brand new compliance regulations and data privacy laws that have come out at the state level, the federal level, the industry level. So that's not going to go away anytime soon. My strongest recommendation to companies is pull together the larger governance and compliance security strategy and your risk analysis strategy. And then as new regulations come out or regulations like PCI get updated, you just fit it into the strategy that you already have going on, because compliance is not going to go away.
Fantastic. And Sean, again, in just the last minute, last thoughts, again, mobility, not always considered the easiest topic in the world. Lots of technology to think about. Where should customers start with this?
I think on the mobility side, you need to start out with a, you know, fundamental foundation, you know, run the strongest encryption types you can, obviously deploy 802.1x in an enterprise type of environment. Look to be employing an RF monitoring system, a wireless IPS system that continually can scan for the threats that I mentioned about earlier, and make sure that that wireless IPS system can go and easily and effectively collaborate with your wired side networking environment. You know, we've talked a lot about compliance, and I think it's worth re-echoing a point that Terry brought up earlier. Don't just chase checkboxes. This is really an opportunity with these new standards, these new compliance regulations, to evaluate, you know, what am I doing to protect data? You brought up customer data, and that's critically important in so many different environments. But think about also your own data. How, you know, Cisco obviously can, you know, process payment card transactions. We have issues around PCI that we need to deal with internally. But we also have to think about security as, what happens if, you know, the product requirements definitions for our brand new products get out to market and then get into our competitors' hands because we're not actually being proactive in securing our network.
Fantastic. So really looking at this not just as data from our customers, but look at our data as well, financials and engineering data. Terry, Sean, very much appreciate your time talking to us today.
Hey, thank you for having us today.
Thank you very much.
Sean Ginnivan is a marketing manager inside Cisco's mobility team. Also joining us is Terry Quinandri, who leads the compliance solutions marketing team. For more information on PCI and data security, please go to www.cisco.com/go/compliance.
We invite you to read more from our guests and get involved in the conversation on this and other topics at our blog, located at cisco.com/go/blog. You have been listening to a Cisco Enterprise Architecture and Solutions podcast.